Help us hear your voice. Help us humble ourselves before your voice. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let me start with the question. As you look ahead to the next year, what is your goal? What are you aiming for in this next year? When you picture your life in a year's time, what do you want to see there? What is your goal? What are you aiming for? I looked up a bunch, we all right? I looked up a bunch of different surveys on what some of the most common goals are these days. And there are some interesting results. One of the top ones was figuring out what I'm going to try and do with the rest of my life. That was a pretty common goal, pretty big one. Some of them were a bit more strange than that. So on the top 100 was genuinely grow longer hair. really reaching. Stars with that one. Shall I just take this off and just go for it? I can't see. We're okay? Brilliant. Another weird one, genuinely on one list, this was number 17, was kissing in the rain. Again, reaching for the stars with that one. But look, the top three most common goals, the kind of goals you would expect. It was things like sort out my financial worries. It was things like get better health, improve my physical appearance. Those were some of the top ones. What would it be for you? What is your goal over the next year? In fact, let me put it this way to help you. No, it's not up there. Never mind. Yeah, here we go. By the end of the year, I want to... How do you finish that sentence? Please just write that down in your head. Write down what your answer is. You might not have thought about it before, but that is your goal. That's what you're aiming for. Wonder what that is for you. Why am I talking about this? Well, these first few chapters of Proverbs that we've been looking at over the last few weeks are basically trying to convince us that behind all the other different goals we might have in our lives, we should aim at getting God's wisdom. Make that your goal. Get God's wisdom. So the first week we saw that God's wisdom is it teaches us how to live effectively here in this life. The next week we saw that it's like there are two paths, and wisdom is the path that leads to life. Last week, if you were here, we saw that there are all these different voices vying for our attention, but wisdom is the only voice that can protect us from harm, the voice that protects us from falling into the kind of life that we don't want. Now, this week, what we're going to see is that wisdom makes our life flourish now. Wisdom gives us what other goals can't give us. It's trying to convince us to make getting wisdom our goal. That's the big idea. In fact, I think it would go even further than that. I think it would say, if getting God's wisdom isn't your goal, then you're aiming too low. You're reaching for pebbles when you could be reaching for diamonds. Make it your goal. That's what this passage is going to try and convince you to do. Make it your goal to reach for God's wisdom this year, to aim at that. Two big things we're going to see. Wisdom makes your life flourish now. That's verses 1 to 12. And then wisdom's better than anything else. That's verses 13 to 18. So that's where we're headed. Now, just a brief reminder before we dive in, I just need to say Proverbs aren't promises. Okay, sometimes in the Bible, God promises things, and there are no exceptions, and they always happen exactly like he promises. For example, he says, if you trust in Jesus, you'll get eternal life. It's a promise. It always happens exactly like that. Proverbs aren't like that. They're not promises. They're patterns. These things are generally true, all things being equal. Okay, we need to know that as we read them. Otherwise, when you read one, you think, but I know someone, and this is not true. Yeah. They're not promises. They're patterns. Okay, let's dive in. Point one, wisdom makes your life flourish. Verses 1 to 12. Look at verse 1 with me. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Verse 1 and 2 introduce the whole of verses 1 to 12. You see the idea there. If we listen, verse 1, and get wisdom, then, verse 2, life flourishes. The rest of verses 1 to 12, you can, they show us how our life will flourish in like five different quickfire ways. You can see if you look down the structure there, it's split up, these different ways. They're split into kind of two bits. There's an instruction in each and then a benefit that you get from it. And those benefits, that's how wisdom makes your life flourish. We're going to run through them now. I'm going to try and go quickly, but don't worry, this point's going to be longer than the second point, so don't get discouraged. Okay? Wisdom makes your life flourish. That's the big idea. And have a look at these different benefits it promises. The first one is that it promises us favor, to give us favor in the eyes of other people. Look at verse 3 with me. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Favor, a good name. Wisdom teaches us how to become the kind of person that other people look up to and respect. Now, we all want that, right? We all want to be someone like that. But how do we get it? Well, these days we're taught that the way to become the person that other people respect is your image. To create a positive image, maybe a successful image, or project your confidence, or have the right kind of body. That's the way that you're going to become respected. But no, wisdom says, look at verse 3. What does wisdom say? Look at verse 3 with me. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them round your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you'll win favor and a good name. It's not your image, it's your character. That is what people really respect over the long term. Let me just give you an example of that. This is a bloke called, is it coming up, picture? Yeah, here we go, Richie McCaw. Now this guy, you may not know who he is. He was probably the best rugby player ever, the most successful player, the most successful captain of the most successful team ever. But you know, interestingly, when his teammates talk about him, it's not that they talk about, it's his character. Do you know what he would do after every match? When all the team were heading out into the lights and heading out into the celebrations, do you know what he would do? He would, the captain of the most successful team, he would stay back and he would sweep the changing rooms so that nobody else had to. But he could have gone out in the lights building his image, but he didn't. He swept the changing room so that no one else had to. And you can guess how his teammates felt about him. They absolutely loved him. Not because he was out there creating an image, because he was loving, because he was faithful. It was his character that made them really adore him. Loving, faithful. Look at verse 3. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. It's interesting, those are two words that are used to describe God in the Bible. He's the loving one, he's the faithful one. Wisdom basically teaches us to let who God is change you. So often people spend so much time thinking about how am I going to become popular? How am I going to increase my status? How am I going to increase my influence? Wisdom would say, forget that. Don't ask that. Ask, who can I love? Who can I serve? Wisdom wants to help our lives flourish by transforming us to be the kind of person that other people respect and look up to, making us more loving and faithful. That's the first one, favor. Favor. What about the next one? Direction. I love this one. Have a look down at verse 5 with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Imagine two paths, okay? One path is all sort of crooked and bent and twisted round. And you don't know where it's going and there are obstacles in it. The other path is straight. You know where it's going. It's saying life can be like that. It's easy to head through life and I don't know what I'm about. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what my purpose is. I heard a podcast this week with a psychologist, and he was saying more and more young people that he meets have this problem. They don't know what their purpose is. They don't know what their direction in life is, and they get all bent in on themselves. And he said, it's terrible. It affects their relationships with people. It affects how they think. He said it even affects their energy levels. They get all lethargic. Well, wisdom wants to put us on the straight path. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm about. How do we get that? How do we get that? Well, verse 5 Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Saying, God, you teach me, you show me, I'm yours. It's when what I feel like I want and what God says in the Bible are two different things, I say, you're God. I'm going to go your way. You show me. And if I do that, I have a clear direction. I'm not, oh, I don't know who I am. I don't know who I'm going to be. I don't know what it's like. I know, because He tells me who I am each day. He tells me what my life's about, the adventure of building His kingdom. See, wisdom wants to transform us to be the kind of person who knows where they're headed through life. Clear direction on that adventure with God. It's another way wisdom helps us flourish. Direction. Next one, verse 7 and 8. Health. Ooh, this is an interesting one. Have a look down at verse 7 with me. This one's tasty. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. So do you see there the benefit that it's talking about is physical health, physical benefits. Now we want to be careful here. This doesn't mean that Christians never get sick. Certainly doesn't mean that if you do get sick as a Christian, it's because you lack faith. Nothing like that. No. But it is saying that notice verse 7, shunning evil and turning to God, verse 7, has physical effects, verse 8. Do you know this? There's a body of research, a growing body of research at the moment that shows, for example, that guilt, ongoing guilt, has a serious impact on your health. So one study that I looked at recently shows that people who struggle with guilt long term, it affects their immune system. They become more susceptible to illness. Another study showed that people who struggle with guilt long term, who don't shun evil and turn to the Lord, they feel physically heavier. Physically demanding tasks feel harder to them. In case you don't believe me about this, this is a pretty well uncontested fact, by the way. You can Google this. There's all sorts of research on this. But just in case anyone doesn't believe me, I'm going to show you a really long quote. Don't be put off by it, though, okay? It's interesting. This guy, he's called, I don't know how to pronounce his name, Coeng, maybe. And this is the end of one of his huge research papers. Came out in 2012. In this paper, I've reviewed and summarized hundreds of quantitative, original, database research reports examining the relationship between RS, that stands for sort of active faith, and health. These reports have been published in peer-reviewed journals, medicine, nursing, social work, rehabilitation, yada, 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 counseling, psychology, psychiatry, loads, basically. And the majority of studies report significant relationship between active faith and better health. The possible benefits to mental health, look at that last sentence, the possible benefits to mental health and well-being have physiological consequences that impact physical health, affect the risk of disease, and influence response to treatment. And Christians say, yeah, the Bible's been saying that for thousands of years. Wisdom wants to transform us in such a way that it genuinely has an impact, generally speaking, has an impact on physical health. Isn't that interesting? Health. Next one, plenty. Again, this is another tasty one. Have a look down with me at verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. You see the benefit there? Verse 10, it's plenty. It's talking about material provision. How do we get that? Well, verse 9, as we honor God with our wealth. Wisdom teaches, I don't just use wealth to honor myself, to build my own little kingdom, my own little life. I use my wealth to try and honor God, to try and build His kingdom, His fame, His reputation. And when I do that, He provides for me. He provides for me. Now, I want to be careful here. This is not talking about the prosperity gospel. Have you heard of the prosperity gospel? It's a horrible thing. It's when false teachers, you know, televangelists, they take bits of the Bible out of context and they use them to try and get everyone to give them money to pay for their private jets and whatever. And it's not about God. It's about money. It's about using God to get money. That's not what this is saying. No, wisdom here, it's about setting our hearts on God over money. Wisdom says God is bigger than money. And as I put him first, he provides for me. The Bible teaches that pretty consistently the whole way through. So Matthew chapter 6, Jesus say a very similar thing. Oh, there we go. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, material provision, will be given to you as well. I put God first, and he promises to provide for me materially. Now, how does he do that in practice? What does that actually look like? Well, most often that happens through church families, in my experience. My last church, there was a couple who had always been very generous with their time, generous with their money. They had a baby that was born after, super early, and had to be in critical care for months. They couldn't afford to, they couldn't keep doing their jobs. They couldn't afford their rent on their house. They were going to be low-stuffed. So what happened? Someone from church welcomed them into their house, put them up for like half a year. Another example, I know a widow who her and her husband, again, had always given loads of money and loads of their time to serving the gospel. He died suddenly. She couldn't afford the mortgage repayment. She was kind of going to be out on the streets. So what did the church family do? They took a blind collection. No figures were involved. They just took a blind collection for her. And the money that came in was exactly what was needed to pay off her mortgage. I put God first with my money, and he provides for me. Plenty. Wisdom, and I love this, because we get so wrapped up about money, particularly with the financial crisis looming. But you see what wisdom wants to do? Wisdom wants to make you the kind of person who's not controlled by money, the kind of person who is both generous, but also provided for with plenty. Wisdom helps us flourish in that way as well. Finally, I'll be really quick with this one. Finally, verse 11 and 12. I think this is about coaching. Look at verse 11 and 12 with me. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in. Discipline there. It's like having a parent or a coach who develops your potential by disciplining you. Why? So that you become more than what you are now. And it hurts, but it's a sign, verse 12, it's a sign of love. So if we get wisdom, then we get God coaching us through life to become more than what we are now. Does that sound good to you? Just have a look at those benefits for a second. Favor, direction, health, plenty, coaching through life. Wisdom makes you flourish in all of these ways. And that's why, second point, this will be more brief. Wisdom is better than anything else. Have a look down at verse 13 with me. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she's more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She's more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. We'll come back to verse 18 in a bit. Do you see the picture there? Wisdom is pictured like a lady holding gifts in her hands. And the gifts she wants to give us are so much greater. She can give you what the treasures of this world can't give you. Look at verse 14. Do you see how it uses this financial language? She is more profitable than silver. She yields better returns than gold. The profit that she can give you is greater than any other goal that you might have. You see, money can buy you a house, but only wisdom can make it feel like a home. Money can buy you attention, but only wisdom can teach you how to have true friendship. Money can ease your financial concerns, but only wisdom can make you content whatever your financial situation. Wisdom gives you, it's more profitable. It is saying here, it is saying, guys, compare wisdom with your other goals. It gives you more. And then verse 18. Verse 18 gets really deep. Have a look at verse 18 with me. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. Tree of life. Okay, it's about to get very theological. You ready? Tree of life. Now, does that remind anyone of anything from the Bible? Tree of life? Can anyone think of anything there? Be brave, shout it out. Where do we see the tree of life in the Bible? Genesis. Yeah, right. Don't worry if you don't know what that is. Right back at the beginning of the Bible, with Adam and Eve in the garden, there is the tree of life. Now, that's going to be... Last time this went up, it fell. We're okay. The tree of life. Back Adam and Eve at the beginning of Genesis, they're in God's presence. The tree of life is this eternal life with God. But there's another tree in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't know why I made it a Christmas tree. I'm not very good at drawing. It was all I could manage. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God tells them not to eat from this one, and they do. And it's a picture, it's a symbol of rejecting God and leaning on their own understanding. It's a picture of saying, no, God, you're not going to tell me what's right and wrong. I'm going to do it myself. Get lost. I don't want you. We're going to choose. And they eat from this tree. And what happens? They get kicked out. They're separated from the tree of life, eternal life with God. They're cut off from it. So do you see how interesting verse 18 is? Look at verse 18 again. Wisdom is a tree of life. This is saying somehow through wisdom, you can come back into contact with that tree again. That's huge. Come back to have God's life flow into me now and through into eternity. What other goal can give you that? What else can give you that? So in some sense, wisdom can do that for us. Now, what does that mean? Well, we know as we look to the New Testament, we know that Jesus Christ comes along and he's the place that we get eternal life. And he says, what does he say? Well, he says, look at this. I'm the true vine and you're the branches. Vine, bit like a tree. And you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. See, as I come to Jesus Christ, as I embrace his words, the life of God flows into me. The character of God, the wisdom of God shapes and transforms me to become the kind of person I was truly made to be. So it's in Christ that that comes to us. Now here in Proverbs, it's saying verse 18, it's through wisdom that we get life. New Testament, it's through Christ that we get life. Well, sort of, which is it? They kind of merge together here. It's really interesting. You can see often, that's really important, I think. Often, again, we tend to think in separate categories. Over here, I've got my relationship with Jesus. And then over here, I've got sort of actual day-to-day living, the practicality of every day. And this is saying, no, they come together as I lean into Christ. He shapes and transforms me in the everyday. He reaches in and makes my life flourish. I become the kind of person I'm truly meant to be in the practical everyday. He wants to give us these benefits. He wants to reach into our lives and transform us in this way. What a savior. So come back to Proverbs 3 here. Do you see the picture of in verses 13 to 18? Wisdom is better than anything else. Now here's what I want you to do. Think about your goal from the beginning. What's your goal over the next year? Hold that in one hand. Now look from that to God's wisdom. Which is better? Which is a more worthy goal? Which is better? Which is more worth aiming at? See, we might have all sorts of good goals here in this life, and they're not wrong, and I'm not saying don't chase them. But if you're chasing those over and above in some bigger way than you're pressing into Christ, then you're reaching for pebbles when you could be reaching for more than diamonds. What is your goal? Is it to press into Christ, to grow in him, to get wisdom from him? Think of yourself a year from now. If that's not what you're aiming at, you're settling for second best. Don't reach for pebbles when you could be reaching for more than diamonds. Get God's wisdom. Make that your goal over this next year. Let me pray. Oh, great God and Father, we thank you and praise you that you do give us eternal life, but you don't just deal with us at that bigger level. You want to transform our lives in the everyday. You want to help our lives flourish, to transform us into the kind of people that flourish in these ways. And we praise you for that. Father, you know we're distracted. You know that the things of this life so quickly take our eyes off you. But we pray now, help us, Lord, help us to aim at getting your wisdom. Help us this year, above and before everything else, to press in to know Christ better, to have him shape and transform us over and above everything, Lord, because we trust you. And your ways are the best ways. Amen.